Hello and hi, kids and kidzoids. Another edition of Stories and Stuff, and this is Joy Bubbles in Minneapolis, your storyteller. Well, I have a very, very dear friend, Penelope, and her special friend, Judy, and they both adopted me into their forever family a number of years ago, back in 1996 or 1997, and I'm going to tell you how they found me a job. Maybe you could guess what kind of job it was that I did to get a little extra money. Anyway, they know how much I hate chocolate. Ew! And peanut butter. Ew! And they'll call me up and, like, they'll have some peanut butter cups and they'll eat them in my ear because they're both together. So I don't just say ew, ew. I say ew, ew, ew! And then they get these big old chocolate soldiers from Switzerland. And they're all carved, and they have the right color of uniform, and they come in an individual box, and they'll start eating those things right over the phone in my ear. Oh, I just bit his bayonet off. I hope it isn't chocolate. It's all chocolate. Ew, I say. And then one day, I told them about when I went over to give blood, and they couldn't take my blood because I had too much sugar in my urine. And you know what? When they'd call me, instead of Joy Bubbles, they'd say, "Hello, sweet pea." Normally, Penelope says, "Joy Bubbles, Joy Bubbles, Joy Bubbles," three times when she's excited because she likes to say the name so much. But for a while, all I heard was sweet pea. I don't know what made her finally forget about it, but she just stopped one day. I almost miss it. Well, one day, I was just mentioning, like I mentioned, you know, to anybody that I was talking to, that I was looking for an extra job to get a little money, extra money. The reason is I had been saving up to go to Pittsburgh for several years, and I wasn't going to go to Pittsburgh for several years, I was just saving up for several years. And my target date was to leave April 30th of 98. I had been planning that date for a number of years. And so it was getting, several months, about a year ahead, I think. And I'd mentioned the, thing to a lot of people. But see, Penelope and Judy live in Oklahoma City. So I never thought that they would ever find me a job until one night I got this call. I picked it up. "Joy Bubbles, Joy Bubbles, Joy Bubbles." And it was Penelope. "We found you a job. Judy found it on the computer. You'll be in a laboratory getting paid." Can you guess what I'd be doing in the laboratory? "You'll be in a laboratory and you'll get paid." "Well, what do I do?" "Well, you'll get paid and get some money to go to Pittsburgh." They were kind of hesitating to tell me, and I started wondering, I hope it, wouldn't be like, well, you just have to have a brain transplant or something, Finally, she told me, I said, "What do I do?" And she said, "Oh, that. Yeah, you'd be smelling pig poop." I said, "What?" "Manure, everybody does it, and you go smell it, and then they give you a check, see?" And, at 2 or 3 in the morning when she calls a lot of times, I just wasn't sure whether to believe her, saying all that out of the blue, I was actually going up to Pittsburgh to listen to all the Mr. Rogers that I hadn't heard. I'd only heard, about 400 of them on TV, so I still had more than that many to listen to since there's 895 regular Mr. Rogers Neighborhood programs. So it was a quest, a pilgrimage, being that I, am redoing childhood and everything. And so I would do just about anything. I hadn't thought of smelling pig poop, but if it would get me up to be in front of those videos in that archive, I said, oh, why not? But I wasn't sure whether to believe her, but I got the phone number, and it was a phone number over at the University of Minnesota. So if she's making up phone numbers, she's pretty good. And I called the next day and asked about the pig poop, asked about the smelling opportunity, the odor panel, as it was called. And they said, oh, yes, when would you like to come in for training? You have to learn how to smell this pig poop. And so I went for training. It was, I think, 3 hours long. And, it turned out, once I decided to do it, there was a mask with my name on it, and we plug it into this machine called an olfactometer, like olfactory is smell. So this machine was an olfactometer since it measures smell and everything. I wonder if I'll have that word on the spelling bee I'm going to enter next month. I doubt it. Well, I'd plug this mask in, and to another outlet in the thing, they'd plug this big bag filled with what some of us called wicked air. They had gone, these people called nasal rangers, went up to where farms were, you know, these big hog farms, and would pump air into the bag, these air samples that reeked of you know what, you know, pigs do it, and everybody does. And so they would hook this big old bag to the machine, and then we would push buttons, find out where we could just smell it, and they would measure that strength and put it into the computer to, they'd do different things and, you know, different climates or wind or something or feed, and I don't know what they did, we just smelled it, you know. But that's what we did. And you know what I learned? The pig poop didn't smell too good, but the Czech smelled awfully good. And I did get to go to Pittsburgh and spent 2 months, 10 hours a day, 6 days a week in front of the video machine. And I did get to hear all the Mr. Rogers. But a couple things happened there, too, that I'll never forget. One day, when I was learning where the bathroom was, I had some guy to help me to the bathroom, but instead he took me to the fire stairs. You know how these college kids are. This was at the Information Sciences Library at the University of Pittsburgh. And he took me into the fire stairs, you know, these metal doors and everything. And I said, I want to go to the bathroom. I know, that's where it is. Sure enough, the bathroom there at that library was in the fire stairs. I've never before been to a bathroom that was in the fire stairs. And then one day, I got to take my shirt off right in the library. Well, how it started, for my birthday, the director of the archives bought me a Mr. Rogers t-shirt that I still wear proudly. And she said, well, try it on. And, you know, wanted to really see how it fits. So I'll take your shirt off. And I had never in my life thought of taking my shirt off in a library, but director said, so I took my shirt off and put on the Mr. Rogers shirt, and luckily it just fit. And then there was the day that one of the archivists there got to introduce me to Andy. And a lot of deans came through and people with PhDs and stuff, because it was kind of a specialized archive for scholars and stuff and people from China. And so I thought Andy would be one of them, and all of a sudden, when I reached out to shake Andy's hand, instead, I got this great big dog's head higher than I was where I was sitting down. And I said, that's not the smallest dog I've ever seen. The lady said, oh, it's a lady named Aaron. I said, yeah, it's a show dog. It's a Great Dane. And he's, you know, won some shows. And so I reached back over Andy to see how long he was to reach his tail. Well, she said, sweetheart, there's a lot more dog there than you've got arm. So I never did, was able to reach all the way back to his tail. But what she did, gave him a very, kind of a little tiny command of some kind, Andy, or something very soft. I didn't even hear what she said. And he walked along very slowly where my hand was on his back, and I could see how long he was without even getting up. And he walked until it came to the end, and his tail was there, and I could see just about how long it was from his head to his tail, and it was plainly the longest dog that I ever had put my hand on his back, and the tallest. So that was a Great Dane. That's also the first time I've ever met a Great Dane in the library, except maybe in a book. So, you know, it was an eventful 2 months. I'll never forget Penelope and Judy telling me about that job. I kept it for like a year and a half. It was a lot of fun. So, you never know what kind of adventures life is going to bring you. Next month at 3 and 4 and 5 in the morning, I'll be on the phone in a meeting room down here in a suburb of Minneapolis. And the phone will go to Australia, where maybe 50 or 60 spellers are hoping to win. And I'll be hoping to win, too. Wish me luck. There's a 6.5 or almost 7-year-old that entered the B. Won't that be something to talk about if he wins over me with my excellent spelling knowledge? It could happen. And, well, we'll wait and see. I'll let you know about that in August. Anyway, until next time, don't let God laugh alone. Take care of each other and find some time to play. Stay strong.
Begin speaking at the tone.